And Doc, who do we have in the studio right now?
Yeah, we got a lot going on today.
Yes,
right
we do.
Now, we'll be talking with Effie as L. Hello, let me get my lips right. S. Effie L. El Masri. All right, I said it right. Effie El Masri. She's a teacher and education therapist. Also, Debbie Cook, a teacher. And Erica L. Anderson, a teacher and counselor at the Thinkers Education Center. And good morning, ladies, and welcome to Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102.1.
Good morning.
And this whole show today is about education. And I guess it's very fitting that we would start with you, Thinkers Education Center. Our topic today is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
And let's talk about the Thinkers Education Center. What is the Thinkers Education Center?
Well, Thinkers started about 12 years ago. And as I retired from public schools, I saw a need for students with ADHD and other disabilities.
And we're talking with Effie now, right?
Yes.
Okay, Effie.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
All right. This is Effie talking, everybody.
And there are a lot of things that the schools can't do for students with disabilities, especially ADHD. And I saw a need for programs that could address non-prescription programs that mm-hmm. could address their needs and make them able to perform in school to their capacity.
Okay. And now we know that with regard to attention deficit disorder, there are a lot of children who are either misdiagnosed or not diagnosed at all. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Erica?
Actually, I did my dissertation on that
at
Prairie View A&M University.
Wonderful.
It's mostly boys, though, that are misdiagnosed or I would say overdiagnosed.
With ADHD?
With ADHD. And typically it's because of the cultural differences with the teachers. They don't. Let's see.
They can't relate.
Right. I'm trying to find a nice way to say that. They can't relate to the kids. And I know I started teaching in Aldine, and I had a class of 18 kids, and 16 were boys. And they wanted to, because as a teacher, you can't tell a parent your child has ADD or your child has ADHD.
In that particular school district,
well,
or is that a state law?
Period. You can't do that. But I had parents who would come to me and say, oh, I think he has such and such. And I'm like, no, he's just active.
Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't that do, and, you know, I'm not trying to parse the legal, the laws as far as what you can and can't tell parents and students in school, but isn't that kind of ineffective? Because if you can't identify the student's particular needs, how can you address fixing the problem or getting them the correct help?
It's the way that you word it.
Because
as a teacher, if you tell the parent your child has ADD or ADHD, then the school district is responsible for paying for testing.
But also the teacher is not necessarily a clinician and has not done a diagnosis, so they're not competent or qualified to make that diagnosis. So that would be very important there. So obviously they tell them, well, you need to take them off sugar and red dye
that
number
does
two.
Help,
and,
though,
I know, of course. Yeah,
diet and nutrition is very important.
Yeah, well, that was part of my master's work at Texas Southern Psychology Clinic over there. So, we did the test. We worked with kids using the Feingold diet. And so, yeah, that it does work. But one theme that as I was preparing for this morning, we noticed that with regard to African-American students, they typically are underdiagnosed by a higher percentage. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And as a result, a lot of them, rather than being in the counselor's office, they often wind up in the assistant principal's office. Mm.
And then they end up labeled special ed when they're really not.
Right. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. And very often they continue, if they continue on without the diagnoses, they tend to wind up filling up the prisons.
The next phase.
Yeah, ultimately. And so I would imagine that at least half the folks in prison probably have some sort of mental health issue.
Is there a reason that young African-American children, males in particular, tend to suffer at a higher rate ADHD. What is that? Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It is that different, first of all, from ADD, which is attention deficit disorder. Are they different?
They are, but they can be comorbid. You can have both.
Both. All right. Why is it that young African-American males tend to test higher or suffer more from ADHD? Are these afflictions how do you classify them? Are they afflictions, Doc? Would they be considered afflictions?
Not an affliction. It is basically a mental health issue. It is a mental health issue, and again, I didn't analyze your question as you were expressing it, but I believe you asked why is it that they are? Did you say underdiagnosed? Is that
why do you have a higher rate of African American males, young males, that suffer from ADHD that are diagnosed as having ADHD or ADD?
Well, first of all, I think very often, perhaps, Erica, you can answer that question better than I can, but since you're right on the front lines, but I think that sometimes it's not so much, they may get the label, but not necessarily the diagnosis. And if they don't get the diagnosis and they're not getting the help, then the problem is not going to be resolved. So they may have the problem, but they're just not getting the help that they need whereby they can manage the problem. I think that could very well be a very important issue there. And then one thing with regard to ethnic minorities, very often, in black families in particular, we don't want to be labeled as, having a mental disorder. So the individual may not get the help that he or she needs simply because they don't want to have that label. And again, those who are diagnosed with attention deficit disorder may be less likely to receive even medication for the treatment, because very often the medication has its side effects, and that becomes an issue also. You're the expert, I don't want to jump in here, but I'm saying, but as teachers, how does this affect your ability to provide the education they need in the classroom, and obviously you've been successful because you have a school and you're open and you have growing enrollment, is that correct? So you're obviously doing something right. Tell us, what do you do that's different that is beneficial for the students? What's a day like at your school?
Well, if I could go back to address the issue of how we at Thinkers would approach a student who has attention deficit hyperactive disorder, I think that a lot of times the public schools or the schools with larger classrooms are not able to address the needs of the student because there is so much interference and so much much going on in the classroom, and it's all negative. You know, Johnny, you're not doing this right, so just go back to your desk and be quiet. You know, don't bother the rest of the kiddos. And the kiddo begins to think of himself as not a productive student. Mm-hmm. He becomes depressed, although he's not going to let people know it. Mm-hmm. And so he starts to act out. And we need to find a way that we can make this student feel good about himself, about his abilities, because he does have abilities to learn. He just may not be able to learn in a classroom with 30 or 40 kids.
Can you imagine? I can imagine what it's like if you got two or three kids in there with that problem.
And it's almost inevitable that you do.
Right. Hey, Liz, our phone number is 713-390-5102, 713-390-5102. Perhaps you have a child who has attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or perhaps you may think that you do, and perhaps the ladies here, the teachers, can answer your question. So do give us a call, okay? So once you've identified a student, what's next?
I like to try everything before medication.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that we were created with the ability, most of us, with the ability to perform in society.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to be guided in the right way and be given the right tools. At Thinkers, we have programs that address ADHD. One of them is called Interactive Metronome, and I don't know if you're familiar with it at all.
Mm.
But it is a program that addresses balance, rhythmicity, and timing on the part of the student.
So you really use a metronome or?
It is a program. Okay. It's computer-based. It has a metronome beat. Okay. And there are exercises, physical exercises that the students do to improve their balance, rhythmicity, and timing.
And what effect does this have? What positive effect does this have for students with ADHD?
Okay, let's say that a student is ADHD and he's very impulsive, which a lot are. His timing is ahead of the norm. So he's doing things before they're anticipated.
Right, before the teacher finishes the question.
And so the teacher, exactly, so the teacher is put aback and says, you have to wait.
Yeah.
But Johnny can't wait because his timing is not on the same schedule that the teacher's is.
Mm.
So we want to re-time him, put him, it's almost like a tune-up for your car.
Wow.
If everything is not in sync, then it's not working correctly for him.
So the question begs to be asked, if they're timing, let's say if they're moving a little bit faster than everyone in the room, is it perhaps that they just think their thinking capacity and everything, that their cognitive abilities are actually functioning higher than perhaps others in the classroom. So
perhaps in some instances, there's testing.
Right.
A lot of times the student is just, the neurons are firing faster, and so he's maybe reacting before he should, and so he's getting the wrong answers because he's not listening to the question.
Fully.
Right. And so it's not always a matter of him being ahead. Many times they are. But what we need to do is, it's like fine-tune them.
Yes, that was the same.
To make their
to put it all together for them.
Exactly.
Yes.
Their expressive skills, both verbal skills and the skills of moving at the right time with the rest of the people in the room, so that, you know, everything works together for them.
They've made great radio announcers, you know. Let's take a few phone calls here. Let's go to line one. Ross, you're on Sunday Morning Live with the folks from Thinkers Education. Good morning.
Yeah, I like to say that mine's a terrible thing to waste.
It's also a terrible thing to develop alone.
But it's a beautiful thing to use.
And I get an amen on that one. Let me just tag on that one and say, yes, indeed, you are so right.
So it's a beautiful thing to use, but we have now so many kids being with these different disorders and different ailments. So we got to structure them in a fashion to understand they are going to be our future. But all these disailments and things that's caught up in the mind, the modern-day kid that's being born, have all these distractions and all this other stuff till they can't comprehend the educational spiritual what's going on because they got all these other distractions in life.
That's deep, Ross. Now, you got a question for our guest.
The question for the guest is, can they find a way to resolve it?
All right.
No, because I'll say this. It's all in the mindset of the person at what they want to do.
All right. We appreciate that input, Ross. Thank you so much. Let's go to line two. Lakeisha, you're on Sunday Morning Live. Good morning.
Hi. I'm an educator. I'm in and out of the school systems all the time. I actually own a tutoring company. And I got an opportunity to get my certification in one of the local ISDs. And one of the things that I wanted to throw in is it's the large class size of those kids. And they're not, like the woman said earlier, they're not able to function. You know, one of the things that I think would be best is if not to just isolate them and just have special ed classes, you know, but a mixture of the two, because it was really hard for me, and I did middle school, and I also do high school, and I've even worked college level, and these kids really deal with a lot of feeling down, feeling like they're less than, feeling like they can't do the stuff, you know, they cannot do the content.
Mm-hmm.
My specialization is in mathematics and science, and it is so tough to sit back and have 28 boys, and then you have three or four that are ADHD or need certain kind of tactile stuff, and you're pulling them at your desk, you're working with them one-on-one, you're trying to also micromanage the behavior of your other boys. So again, they need to find a way to encourage those students in a smaller setting, but then still integrate them and do a mixture of their classes.
Right.
You know, but it's really, really bad because these boys, or even young ladies, they turn into being the ones that have the self-esteem issues, mm-hmm. feel like they can't do it, and then right. they play into it, you guys. They really play into, well, you know what, it's the problem, and okay. I'm never going to be able to do that.
So. All right, Lakeisha, thank you so much. We appreciate your input. This is a very, very important issue here. Debbie, do you think that homeschooling could be a factor helpful in this regard?
I think
working with some of these kids.
Yeah, actually, I think it is. The students have that one-on-one. You're able to speed up in the areas that they are excelling at, and mm-hmm. slow down in the areas where they're struggling. Maybe they're great at reading, but they're horrible at math. So in the reading class, you can continue at the pace that they're at, and maybe, you know, the other class, you have to take 2 extra days on a certain subject, and then you can move forward. With it being one-on-one, we can tailor the curriculum to the student.
Now, is Thinkers Education Center a charter school, or is it just a private school?
We're a private school.
Okay, all right, very good. Now, can... Okay, so basically, if one wanted to attend the school, funded? How is it funded?
Unfortunately, by parents only.
Okay.
We're not a nonprofit. I wish we were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
I would love to have
a nonprofit, but not by choice.
Exactly. No, you know, I wish that we could provide services for more students. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there were some way that we could get some help with funding, that would be great. If, you know, people want to sponsor kiddos.
Right.
That would be fantastic.
Let's take another phone call. Let's go to line 3. Sharon, you're on Sunday Morning Live with Erica Anderson, Debbie Cook, and S.E.L. Masri. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm a grandmother, and I have a grandson. He's 2, but he's born with a stroke, seizures, and blood clots in his head.
Yes, ma'am.
And, yes, and I know that there's going to be some development problem. But my question is, why do they tell a parent like myself that it's okay, that it's normal, that a child has to have that, when we know that it's not okay, that it's not normal? And question number 2, for a program like yours, why come they don't have what Medicaid to pay for that kind of service? Because there's a lot of us that receive Medicaid that need that type of service for our children. So there's any kind of program that we can put our children in that receive Medicaid that Medicaid can pay for.
Okay, thank you, Sharon. We'll let them answer that question.
Yeah. We're working on a program where we can accept kids where Medicaid or your insurance would pay for it. Where the issue is going to come in is that the disability or the diagnosis has to be on Axis 2 of the DSM-4.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I need you to break that down for those of us who have no idea what
DSM
you just
five.
Said.
Is it 5 now?
Oh, it is 5 now.
Yeah.
If it's not, then the insurance won't cover it. So it has to be termed a medical condition.
Not a
right.
mental health.
Or even if it's mental health, as long as it's on Axis 2, then the insurance will cover it.
And what is Axis 2?
That's for mental health
okay.
issues.
All right. Gotcha.
Okay.
But we are working on something.
So it can't be Axis 1, it has to be Axis 2. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Golly, what? That means, the time is just running out. This is amazing. Okay. I'll tell a little bit more about Thinkers. Where are you located exactly?
We have just moved, as a matter of fact, this past weekend. We're at 10190 Katy Freeway, Suite 228.
Okay. And your phone number?
713-781-4960.
And you have a website?
We do. It's thinkersed.com.
Okay, thinkersed.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had one word of advice to give a parent who has a child that they suspect has attention deficit disorder or some other disability which limits their ability to learn, what suggestions would you make?
I would say that if your child is not performing, you know your child better than anyone else. And if he's not performing in school to the level that you think he should be performing, then I would start talking with counselors at the school, talk with the teacher,
important.
Find
it's
out exactly
way more
what's
than
going
taking
on,
them off of sugar
and
diet.
Get help as
if
soon as you can.
Cut certain things out of the diet, like wheat,
thank you so much.
You will see dramatic changes.
Any other thoughts on that?
Okay. I was actually going to say diet.
They have a gluten deficiency.
Diet.
We have a whole show on that.
Wow.
Okay, we're talking with S.E.L. Masri, director of the school, also Debbie Cook, and Erica Anderson, both teachers at the Thinkers Education Center. The website, again, thinkersed.com. Check them out. They got some very important information to help you with your child with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.